Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're live from L.A., take two, meaning day two of the crazy, crazy marathon of interviews. I'm hoping it's over, meaning not another 16. Well, I have three scheduled so far. One, two great famous people and an up-and-coming superstar. And when I was talking to people about this whole event and things like that, who would think that I'd have a Real Housewife that just said, I want to come to L.A. to see you. So she, GJ, made it happen. Mary Amon's Real Housewives of D.C., thanks again for stopping by the studio, the makeshift studio here in L.A.
I love it. It's a beautiful setting here.
Oh, it's a phenomenal setting. It's really, really a great opportunity to have the conversation with you.
Yeah.
But I've taken a lot of stars yesterday, and I've really gone to the child because we've talked about all your upcoming projects. We're all keeping our fingers crossed for certain things, the great things that you're doing after Real Housewives, but I want to know your childhood. I want to know what's going on with you. What's happening with Mary when she was a child that's led to where you are today, a brand? So let's go specifically to growing up. How did you kind of want to be an actress? You wanted to be involved in radio. Who were your influences as a child? And at 6 years old, did you have a mic in your hand? Kind of, or what would you say? Or you were the kind of person that was running around and doing all that?
No, I would have to say, being the oldest of seven kids, I had a baby in my hand helping my mother raise her kids.
That might be like my daughter Ava before. She might end up being like that. Yeah.
Yes. I come from an amazing, loving, nurturing home. My mother is a superhero and has been an incredible model to me as a mother and a wife and I come from a servant-hearted woman, and I have just embraced who she is, and hopefully I can be the same mother to my children as she is as I am to my kids. But I have to say that my journey, because we're all on a journey, my childhood was one that was so surrounded by love and so surrounded by support. And it's a very strange phenomenon that my mother, who was the daughter of a very famous person, he had them growing up in rural Virginia, where he was like the most famous person in radio and television in the 50s,
right,
going back and forth from New York. She grew up in going to public school. She was on a farm. She was a fox hunter. She grew up in a very, very down-to-earth, normal environment.
Yeah, yeah.
Studied to be a nurse, became a full-time nurse, and my dad is from the West Coast, and he went from playing football at USC out to Georgetown Law School, and that's where they met. And a year later, I was born. but I have the blessing of having grown up in a very loving home, like I said, with this legacy, this entertainment legacy, that my mother actually kind of downplayed.
Okay.
Because she really... She's so down to earth, and she's not all caught up in fame superficialness of being famous. I think she, in a sense, was kind of shunned it in a way, and just she's very humble and just likes to lay low and doesn't like to be part of hoopla and all of that.
It sounds a little bit like you. You say you don't call yourself a celebrity.
Well, that's one thing that I have to say that, you know, you keep referring to me as a star, and I'm like, I think we're all stars in our own right, you know? But for me to be called a star, that's something that I've really had a hard time digesting and really accepting that people put me on this pedestal. But I have to say it's an honor. It's something I take with just such humility to have an opportunity to be an influencer and to inspire people. And so I'm actually writing a book about my journey, and a lot of it is going to have to do with my childhood.
And that's where I want to bring you back to give a teaser in a way, or give you ideas of, now I can put this in my book, because as we know, writing a book.
Yes.
I just met with one of the top publishers in L.A. Yesterday about possibly where I'm going with my book, because I'm in the book journey right now, and it's gotten a standstill. And now I put a timeline for an education tips book for the first book. I've interviewed a lot of authors who tell me that I need to write a memoir, But I'm at that point, and she's like, well, I can help you get published. And before, I was just thinking self-published. So yeah. It's the process. So you're now, in this interview, can look back and say, that'll be a good part to put. And Neil maybe asked the right questions to get
that's exactly what's happening. And I really didn't have any idea that embarking on writing your story is so therapeutic, because especially if you're working, I'm working with a woman out here in LA who's going to help me collaborate, and she's a transformational coach.
Okay.
So she's literally coaching this
almost
book.
Like life coach?
Yes. Uh-huh. But she helps people transform themselves. She primarily works with wealthy people, helping them find their true purpose beyond their money.
Right.
Because a lot of people that are wealthy are very unhappy.
Very
lost and unhappy. So she's literally drawing this book out of me, and we've had some meetings out here in LA where it's gotten to the point where I've been very emotional, because she's asking me all these questions, getting me thinking about my inner child my childhood experiences, and it's really making me become very aware of the gift that I have in growing up in the family that I did.
And I think it's so important. That's why I want my children to see that my wife, again, was an actress. It's not like in school. She almost was in the Marissa Tomei movie when she was in eighth grade.
Oh, wow.
So she was involved in all that stuff, did all the plays, different things like that. And myself, former professional wrestler, and now I guess doing a bunch of other things as a radio host.
Yeah.
I'm learning all these different things. I want our kids to be involved in that, to understand that, because a lot of people don't get the opportunity to be in front of that, to understand and learn from that. So let's go first with your grandfather. What kind of advice do you offer you as a child to say, you know what, Mary, you might have something here?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, of your siblings, did anybody else go your path?
Well, first of all, let me tell you that my grandfather was Arthur Godfrey, and he was one of the pioneers of the radio and television business. In fact, the way he really was embraced and got to be so famous and well-known was he was really one of the first people on the radio to express himself and his opinions and his feelings and emotions.
Anybody interested?
Yes, because back then, in the 40s, radio was very canned and scripted.
Very scripted.
And everyone had a very deliberate voice.
Exactly.
Exactly. And there wasn't a whole lot of honesty and truth being. It was
right,
a lot
exactly.
of, there was entertainment going on, and there was a lot of news being delivered. And he really, to me, is like the father of reality television, too.
Interesting,
When he parlayed his career when television first came to be, he would do commercials live. And he would have a product where he was endorsing a product, like Lipton soup, for instance.
Yes.
And he would do, a taste on live TV and ask the viewers if they find chicken in the soup to let them know. And it's chicken noodle soup. And
so he was one of the first pitchmen.
He was one of the first pitchmen, but he was also one of the first endorsers that spoke the honest truth about the product, whether it was good and bad.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. What did the sponsors think of that?
And they loved him because he sold it. He sold it from his honesty. So he was very inspirational to me. And I really didn't even know it at the time. I mean, you don't really understand where your influence is really coming until you get a handle on who you are and where you're going. But I remember... And I spent a lot of time with him. I'm the oldest grandchild, and he passed away when I was 18. So I had a lot of special memories with him. But one memory specifically that is going to be an opener to my book, which is now in a roundabout way answering your question, I had a beautiful opportunity to sit and have lunch with him one spring day out on his farm. And it's such a vivid, colorful memory. I was 9.
Oh, okay.
And it was a unique opportunity to be alone with him because, there are all these kids running around.
Right.
Anyway, we sat out and I had lunch, and I can remember specifically like the lily pads and the pond that were there and the koi fish and the what we were eating and
see, that's
where
surprising.
We were.
You wouldn't think that of a celebrity star that did very well for himself to have just that kind of environment. Yes.
Yeah, but it was one of those really tender moments that I'll never forget, and it was very pivotal to me where I sat and I had an opportunity and he was asking me what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Oh, that's a great question.
And I said, well, Pop, I'd really love to be an actress. And he literally, like, choked on his food, going, Oh, no, really? Don't tell me this. Because he had had some experiences in the business in his later in his career that just kind of turned him off to the industry and got burned a little bit. Anyway, he goes, this business is the most brutal business you could ever consider. It's full of rejection.
Yes.
It's full of, you know, it doesn't matter if you have talent.
Exactly.
It's all about
exactly.
who you know and yeah. And all, you know, where you are at this, mm-hmm. at the right time. And I said, but Papa, it really is my dream to be an actress. And he said, well, in that case, that's good. But learn to enunciate. And speak clearly.
But see, isn't that...
Because that will carry you.
Isn't that very surprising that your grandfather would just be that blunt with you?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and you see
exactly.
this at 9 years old. Yeah, whoa. I'm going to be critiqued. If I'm going to get involved in this business, I'm going to have to understand this.
Yeah.
And that's as brutal as professional wrestling business is. And if I told anyone to get involved in it, it's not. But I think if I would go back, I'd say I'd be an actor.
Yeah.
I would be, I am an entertainer at heart, and giving up entertainment for a while, I can never do that again.
Yeah.
I'm hooked. But so that's very interesting. So from that, what did that just take you off in a way to say I'm going to be involved in certain things?
Well, I just took his advice very soundly, and it was always something that I had tucked back in my heart and as a desire, and always a dream. And then in the sixth grade, I had an opportunity. I was in public school in the sixth grade. There was a teacher.
You wouldn't think your family grew up and that would be the case.
Yeah.
In public school.
Yes, of course. Well, my mother was raised in a very normal, down-to-earth upbringing, and she wanted us to have the same experience. Anyway, we had this exceptional teacher that, you know, in public school, you can't choose where your kid is going to go in
which
class.
Right, exactly. Well, in private, it sometimes happens.
Yes. But there was just a clamoring to always get into this classroom with this man because he was writing original musicals for each class, had two per year.
Oh, my.
And I ended up getting into the class, and he cast me, one, as one of the lead characters, and two, as the second musical. In the first musical, I was one of the lead characters, and in the second one, I was one of the supporting characters. I played the role of Babs Wawin. Babwa Wawa.
Oh, wow.
So I was interviewing this.
Let's hear your impersonation.
Babwa Wawa. I just had to speak like I had a speech impediment, you know.
Remember in that time when they had the rap, Rem DMC, you talk too much and you never shut up?
Yeah.
You remember that song?
Yes.
See,
yes.
Now I'm finally getting somebody that's dated to understand that. I would tell my producer Marcus, he'd say, who? What?
Yeah.
So Barbara Walters has been around so much. And
yes.
And was she an influence in you ever when you started to want to be involved in more than just an actress? Did you ever look, who would you say are the best interviewers possible? Because you do want to be a radio host, but you did go to school to understand that. Who do you think are the best?
I would say Barbara Walters, definitely. I would say...
What about Katie Couric? Do you like her?
Katie Couric, love her. She's actually a friend of mine.
Really?
Yes.
Ah.
I've learned a lot from
Katie's
from
gotta
watching
come on
her.
The show.
Yeah.
I gotta get to interview her and take the twist. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Now she has her own talk show and is doing very well. But I would say, you know, I think what happened is also I got bitten with the bug early. It
yeah.
was one of my passions and my dreams. I was blessed to be in this class and also perform in these plays and have so much fun. And then in high school, I went to a Catholic high school where the drama program, I was an athlete also. So I had to sort of choose between where I was going with my interests in high school. So I kind of just dropped being involved in any of the dramatic arts
oh, wow.
in high school.
Okay.
And then... went on to college and started studying communications. And then I met my husband, fell in love, got married, had a baby, just not in that order.
And what we're going to have to do is take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk more with Mary Ammons. I have more questions. And she still didn't answer any more of her mentors in talk radio or a talk show host. We'll be back in just
All right.
a moment. We're back live from L.A. with Mary Ammons, Real Housewives of D.C., and I'm asking questions. And I already can tell you are a trained journalist. You know why? you don't always answer my questions. Ask Marcus. I get things out of people that they weren't even supposed to give up, but she's very trained, people. Very trained indeed.
I have had some good media coaching, for sure. I will say that that was one of the things that Bravo TV gave us, was some really sound media coaching.
So there's another topic I would be interested in.
How to stay on my island and not get derailed and answer questions that I don't feel comfortable.
I asked some pretty interesting questions. But,
what about, you're not making me feel uncomfortable.
No, but what about the question? Because you jumped from it.
Yep.
I want to know who else you thought. Let me give you a story.
Yes.
And you like me coming back of the story. Well, I told my nephew, I never thought I'd be in radio and be okay at it. I'm never going to say I'm great. People say I'm pretty good, but...
You are.
And they said, well, thank you. That's an honor. As I was hearing from Kat Kramer's mother, Stanley Kramer's wife, saying I'm pretty good. But what was interesting about it was... My nephew said, you listen to Larry King every night, meaning when he was doing radio, all the time. When you're delivering newspapers at night, the New York Times, or you're in college, you always listen to radio. I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of Dan Patrick. I think that when you emulate and listen to the best, I'm going to say even conservative, I listen to Sean Hannity. I think Limbaugh has no training, but I think Sean does a fantastic job in the way he asks questions.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain people that, you know, they just ask questions, and they're not telling their true person. When we have this connection where I'm telling you more about you, you're more willing to answer. So who else do you think that you would emulate as a talk show host who you think that was very good? You said Katie Couric. You said definitely your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the other? What about Oprah? Do you think she's pretty
good? Oh, yeah, Oprah. No question, Oprah.
And we said Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters. I have to say my biggest, earliest influence from an external standpoint, just not my grandfather. I had such an affinity for Brooke Shields, and I still do.
Oh, really? Yeah.
She really was like my teen hero. That I just wanted to be like her.
That's so interesting.
She was so influential. She was plastered all
Brooke
over.
Shields?
No, but I always had this funny.
I have a connection with Brooke, meaning I've not met her, but I have a publicist that represents her. That she was saying something that one of my family members was going through some depression. She said I should just get Brooke on the line to talk to her.
Definitely.
Yeah,
she's had her own journey and has been very vocal about how she's gotten through it. But I just always looked up to her as a beautiful girl who's just a couple of years older than I am. She just made a really good track of, and she's very smart. She's pursued her studies, her studies at Princeton. She's a beautiful influencer. She's a great actress.
Yes.
She's evolved. I've loved watching her evolve, and I just have always wanted
to. So you're always a fan of her movies?
Always. Always, since Blue Lagoon.
Really? Oh, wow. Now we're definitely going back. We're going back big time.
That's where she really got her big start as an actress,
mm-hmm.
Yes. But I have to say that I have always intently watched all of the morning talk show news shows, like Today's Show, Good Morning America.
I think they're so much better than the local ones. The local ones are just nothing to watch. They do such a tremendous job. Robin Roberts is fantastic. That whole GMA is unbelievable.
I love Robin Roberts.
See, once I become a student of the game and I know I'm in this business, I watch all of them and I learn from them and see how they interact and ask for critiques and different things because it's just like, they're just awesome.
I watch very carefully the 60 Minutes crew, too.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie Stahl,
yes.
I think, is brilliant. And she's had her own struggle with cancer and is back and doing the same thing for years and years and years. And ironically, you brought up Larry King. Larry King, if you ask Larry King who probably his most biggest influence is in his career, it's Arthur Godfrey.
Wow.
Yes. Huge fan of Arthur Godfrey's.
And you know what Larry did that was very interesting someone told me about? Larry just knew about the guest, not know about the guest, just basically knew the topic and wanted to learn about them.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want a bunch of prescribed questions.
Yes.
And I think that's what made him so good. And I started that way. It's hard doing book authors like that, but anybody else is very simple because you pick a topic, you talk about it, and you listen to the person.
Right.
And that's what makes a good talk.
Well, I think it's so important. And for me, I know this is one of my talents, is to draw people out and to ask questions that are interesting that we all want to know about. And I feel like you as well have a way of just putting people at ease, and it's just a conversation.
Exactly.
And you put, you know.
And then I could get some information out of you. You want?
Yeah. But because you're so down to earth, honest, and authentic,
right.
it encourages your guests to be the same.
Exactly.
And open up.
And that's where I find it amazing. I learned from so many people. So. Here's the question.
Yes.
You were influenced by Brooke Shields, so you made a change after college. I mean, high school. Then you decided to go into... Did you go to acting school, or did you...
I have. I have studied acting at a conservatory. We have a wonderful program called the Studio Theater in D.C., and I've gone through some of their conservatory.
Oh, so what did you go for undergrad?
I did 1 year of college at Marymount studying communications,
okay.
And then I got pregnant.
Oh, so you didn't...
Yeah, so I wasn't able to finish.
Oh, my. That's interesting.
So I've just supplemented my education with some other...
So you went to acting school during that time in Marymount?
No, I did not study acting until I was in my 30s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because I really didn't have time. I mean, I have 5 kids, and I just was in the weeds.
So you need to tell my wife it's not too late, when she can come right back into it once the kids get older. And I wish she could. That's the shout out to Jen. Saying Jen is fantastic. It was funny. Here's one little story. I always have stories, and maybe that's why you guys are put at ease, because I do have stories.
That's right.
First time I did radio, it was on a college radio station, and I was one of my mentors. I said, "Listen to the show," and my wife was doing the pilot with me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "You were good, Neil, but she sounds like a radio person." And that was like, whoa. And,
wow.
I wanted her to be my co-host forever. And then she said, "I just don't." It's the humbling. I mean, she says, "I wish I was involved in all those things." So you went and studied acting. Did you get any acting gigs? Have you gotten to work in acting?
Well, I kind of just did it because I wanted to follow through with my dream and my passion to pursue that field. I got a little busy, and I have done some, you know, local things, auditions, and I think the most important thing when you're getting into the field is to really learn how to deliver
right.
a monologue
right.
and have confidence and learn the game.
Yes,
it's
yes.
a game. But my sister is also a very seasoned actress.
Oh, really?
My sister is 2 years younger than I am. She's gone through. She actually got her BFA out here at USC.
Oh, wow.
And
isn't that what maybe you wanted to do? It sounded like
yes.
he wouldn't have met
yeah.
your husband. That would have been what you did.
That is the school that I wanted to go to. And
oh, my. Has she been in anything?
She has done a bunch of commercials, and she's been on the road in some musicals. She performed. She lived in London for a while, and she performed at the British America Theater. And she studied at the British American Dramatic Arts, BADA. And she's still pushing hard to do it. She too is a busy mom, so it's kind of hard.
It's something
if you're in DC, you can get involved in the local theater scene and some local commercials, but in order to take it to the next level, you really need to be in New York or LA.
Yeah, exactly.
And having kids makes it hard.
And DC doesn't have the acting like in Pittsburgh, where we're getting tons of stuff in Pittsburgh. I don't know if that's going to change, but that's what they call it, the little Hollywood in Pittsburgh.
Probably because they're tax benefits to production coming in.
So that's
really?
Going to change it, yeah.
Wow.
So it's part of the governor.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So we go from that process. So ultimately, you never got to do your dreams. You went to communications for 1 year. But now, thanks to this Real Housewives opportunity, now you can take that to the next level and go.
Right.
So here are my plans for you. Because remember, if you were listening to some of my interviews, I'm trying to be their agent.
Yes.
Some of the people.
I'm
first
open.
The first thing you need to do, you need to do your own talk show. Because it's very interesting. I had Maya Angelou's niece on my show. She has a show on Blog Talk Radio.
Nice.
And she interviews all the top celebrities and different people. And she has her show, and it's very, very popular. You do a radio show like that, and then ultimately your book, and the real part of the whole situation. And you need to act, because I can get you gigs, and you, I think you like L.A.
I love L.A.
It seems like I have connections in that world. I'm learning to get it, because I'm just constantly talking to people.
Yeah.
And I think that you really, it's not about the money as much as the opportunity.
Right. My belief is that if you pursue your passions, the money will come.
Right.
You should not be chasing money ever
right.
by working. You have to really figure out who you are, what your true purpose is, and the money is just a bonus behind it.
Exactly. So when you were just a housewife, we're not going to talk about Real Housewives. And see, I'm a lot
I was
of things.
Just a housewife before the cameras.
Yeah, before the cameras. Would you say that you were put back in a position of just what your mom was in a way and your grandmother was in a way. And did you relish? Did you enjoy that? Especially when you wanted those other dreams that were kind of put on hold. You had resentment because of that at all?
Well, I have to say that there's no better gift than to be a stay-at-home mom and to really focus on...
Listen to that, Jennifer. Yes, definitely.
Yes, stay-at-home mom is a true gift, and it's a challenge because it can get taxing. It can get thankless. You feel like you're just working so hard and getting nothing out of it, but really to pour yourself into raising your kids. And I'm not saying anything against women that just valiantly juggle career and mom,
right.
Being a mom.
It's very challenging.
But I had a blessing of being able to stay home with my kids. And I came to a point in my probably early 30s after I gave birth to my number 5 where I started waking up thinking about what's my purpose.
Right.
Now that my whole true purpose has been nurturing and raising my family, and that'll always be the case as my number one purpose and priority.
Exactly.
But who am I outside of this role? And that was one of the things that really, I think, I missed some self-development
right.
and self-awareness
right.
in going through the
exactly.
the typical track of
right.
of what a woman does
right.
from college to
right.
career to motherhood
exactly.
and all of that. So I really am sort of waking up to my true purpose beyond my
exactly.
mothering role now in my 40s. And it's something that, and this is going to be very much a part of my book and my story, because I think there are many women that can share the same story. And I've learned some things along the way about what to do and what not to do and how to really be your best and be able to have balance and maintain, you know, some level of senility in
exactly,
your life.
Exactly.
Because you can just get so scooped up and overwhelmed in the role of raising a family. But now I have the opportunity to really explore my gifts and my talents.
Yes.
I'm circling back to my original dream of being an actress and a performer.
Right.
And The Real Housewives was really just a catalyst for me, an opportunity
exactly.
to just go, okay, here are cameras, and I'm going to be able to be myself. What a great way.
One thing that if I was your publicity agent, I'd say to you, every time this reality stuff comes out, Kardashian stuff, you should be going to the media and talking about it.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why, because you firsthand put that out there. We can't tell you about, I'm kind of not spoiling the book, I'm giving you a teaser in our interview, but there's a lot more to what she's going to do that's going to make it different.
Yes.
Because a lot of people that have been part of the Real Housewives experience love it and would relish it to the point that they like reality trash television.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think what you need to do is to constantly get you out in the media is when Kardashian does something stupid, when our good friends out in Jersey, which my wife loved the Real Housewives in New Jersey, and that's why I said I never interview a Real Housewife, and I've interviewed 2 so far, and we're working.
There's
on
some good ones.
There are
some real
really
good ones.
Leah Black's fantastic. As
yeah,
well.
She's great.
But the thing is, I'm learning more and more of the business of this, but that's really not reality. But you need to speak out in those ways as an expert for people to understand that. So that's one thing I was thinking about for you as well. But
yeah.
for our listeners, because and viewers, I know people always you're always interacting on Twitter. You're doing a lot of different things. So where can we find more information on you for them to get involved? Because you really do. You're involved with your fans, and that's great.
Yes, I think it's really important. And also, that's another thing that I have fans. That's such a strange thing.
Well, I know for a fact, because when I tweet something out about you,
yeah.
it comes back with people saying they wish they were interviewing you.
Yeah, but I'm so humbled to know that there are people out there that are following me and paying attention to what I have to say.
Exactly.
And that I have a true influence
that's
on
fantastic.
Them. And that's a huge responsibility.
I believe it is, too.
I think it's really important to really be true and honest, and I think that's what people like about
yeah, exactly.
me, is that I'm authentic, and I'm not hiding anything.
Right.
But you can find me on Twitter, Mary Amons. I have a fan page on Facebook, my Mary Amons Facebook page. And then, of course, my charity that I run, Labels for Love, is
labelsforlove.org.
And I'm in development of my personal page. So it's maryamens.com is under development.
Well, and it's good you're saying under development, because I was meeting with a book publicist that my website needs to be completely redone. And
yes.
I understand that, and there's so much time for different things.
Yes, and
but
that's it.
I mean, but I appreciate you
coming by, Neil.
And thank you to GJ Reynolds as I got this one-on-one interview. And definitely check her out. And I know there's some big things coming for you, so people have to check it out by going to my website, simplyg.com, all the different places, and again, all of Mary Amon. So thanks again for coming by.
Well, you are such a fun guy, and your presence, you're just ginormous in spirit and in stature and in fun, and just, you're just a light in this world. So I'm really happy to be with you here in this building here in LA. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome. All right,
thank
so
you.
Take care now.
Thank
okay.
you.
You're watching Total Education with Neil and listening to Total Education Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're live in L.A., day two, and I can't believe it. Superstar guests, and it continues. And I'm so excited to have a gold medalist face-to-face. I never thought when I started in radio and television I'd get to Jenna Batarmo. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you so much. My pleasure.
I'm just honored, and it's amazing. And since we started talking, when we first did the first interview, things have just been picking up for you like crazy. I mean, and what I wanted to talk to you about today was specifically some of the experiences you're having with the media.
Mm-hmm.
After London, things, you took a little break, and then it seems like you just picked everything up, right?
Yes, definitely. I'm fairly new when it comes to media, so this, from January, I just was thrown out there, and it's a learning process, I can definitely say that, but I love being in front of the camera and I love talking to people.
And that's why you're here. And you came from, but what would, let's talk first about the ESPN experience. Was mm-hmm. that a magazine or was that a TV interview?
I've had both a TV interview and a magazine.
Let's talk about the TV interview first of all.
Uh-huh.
Was that nerve-wracking at first to be interviewed by such a big situation and saying, I'm going to go talk about this? Who interviewed you with ESPN?
Oh, I forgot his name. But he was a really, really nice guy. And it was definitely nerve-wracking. I don't think I've ever been in a situation like that where I can just sit in front of ESPN and just tell the world about Jenna. So it was definitely nerve-wracking, and I wanted to be politically correct and as proper as possible. So it was a learning experience. I can definitely say that.
And then where did that air on ESPN? What show did they do that? For the news?
SportsCenter.
SportsCenter? Yeah. And this is how long after the gold medal was that?
It was before the gold medal.
It was before the gold medal?
Yeah, it was before the gold medal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you were excited saying it was my opportunity and things like that. And then you're like, wow. And then also you did get interviewed by ESPN, the magazine.
Yes.
How long ago was that?
That was January.
January.
Maybe
okay,
January, yeah. ESPNW Women's, and they just wanted to know a little bit more about Jenova.
And so tell us specifically some of the things you were talking about in that interview.
Oh, they asked me questions about how I started running track, my childhood, about being from my parents being from West Africa and me growing up in a West African home in San Jose, California, and just how track is, what I've been doing lately, how I was able to overcome the runoff situation, how am I personally, am I a friendly person, what do I think of myself, just ask me so many things.
So it seems
myself.
Like you were more trained then for the ESPN magazine than you were before when you went on ESPN before the Olympics.
Yeah.
It seems like you have the right people coaching you in a way.
Oh, yes, I was definitely more trained.
So did they come the perspective questions, or did they kind of ask you in the interview like a personal, when the magazine came, did they just come to your, did you meet somewhere, or did they do a phoner with you to get all that information?
It was a phone interview, yes.
And did they give you perspective questions beforehand where they were set up, or was it more about they came up with them?
They gave me some perspective questions, but obviously they're not always going to tell you exactly what they ask, including depending on how you
what's
answer.
What's going to happen in the magazine, right?
Yes, so depending on how you answer, they normally change the question up and whatnot, but it was pretty straightforward what they told me that they were going to ask, and I answered those questions, and it was really fun. I loved it.
And once the magazine got out, how many copies did you try to get to your friends or different people? I can't believe I'm in a magazine now.
Well, since it's a new day and age, I just try to post it on Twitter and Facebook.
Didn't your family want to have a copy, or did you get a copy of it for yourself?
I didn't actually get a copy. I just, well, because it's on the internet, so I just printed it out, and it's in my...
Oh, really?
Yes.
So but was it a physical magazine as well, or was it for the internet, the ESPN?
It was on the internet, yeah.
Oh, they don't even have a magazine anymore, ESPN?
ESPNW, I think they do, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So didn't ask in the print, but you did print it out.
I definitely printed it out. I didn't try to get the whole magazine.
How did it happen? Did any of your fans get to read it, or people that saw it? And what did they think of it when they told you about hearing about your story more?
People that read it, they just said, oh, we just love your personality. You are a sweet person. And they just started to know me a little bit more.
And how about your friends when they got to see it?
They were just like, whatever. We already know Jenna,
really?
We know that she's a sweet person.
Were they impressed by it, or saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe ESPN interviewed you, or not?
Well, yeah, they were definitely impressed. They were just like, wow, she is doing some big things now, and she's too good for us. But they were really impressed, and they were really proud of me.
And so in that perspective, did they ask you about 2016? At all in the ESPN women's?
Oh, always. They always ask me about 2016.
What do you think your chances are?
I think my chances are great. I think it's going to be
so.
A great year.
I hope so. And that's a shout out to GJ to make sure he gets me to Rio to cover it. And it was very interesting. So basically the magazine, what did it, I guess it taught you specifically that this is who I am. I want people to know, especially with the challenges that you went through, mm-hmm. and getting a gold medal.
Yes.
This is a different story. So you hope you get 3 to 4 gold medals in 2016 so you can say to yourself, okay, now that's passed.
Yes.
I can think about other things now.
It's definitely a challenge, and I just really want people to know me outside of track and field. I'm more than just an athlete. I'm a person. So I think it was a good way for people to get to know me personally.
And I think that's so important. And it's so much easier to interview in person because I just can – it's just – you're such a bubbly person, very, very nice, humble.
Thank you so much.
Willing to really – answer questions well, and you're happy to be here.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's some people who are like, oh, I'm doing an interview and all this, but you're not like that.
Oh.
So that's fantastic. So any other big interviews would say ESPN, the magazine, did you do any other interesting ones with ESPNW? What other ones would you say are notable ones?
I've done one with Yahoo Sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think Yale's Yahoo Sports, and then there's Boss Magazine as well. So I've done 2 other big ones, I think.
So with Yahoo, was there any difference from ESPN questions to Yahoo?
It was no different at all. It was pretty much just trying to show, get a different, what's the word?
Perspective of you?
Not a different crowd. I want to get a different crowd.
So what did your publicist say or people say about the difference between ESPNW and Yahoo?
Well, they just wanted me to not just be in the sports world because ESPN is just sports. When they hear ESPN, they're like, okay,
right.
Sports. Yahoo, they think of the search engine. They think of so many other things.
Right.
So they just wanted me to get out of just the sports world and into a bigger world.
A bigger world.
A bigger world.
A bigger world. And which one was the most impressive, Yahoo or ESPN?
I have not read the Yahoo one yet. So
when did that come out?
It's supposed to come out this month.
Oh, you heard it first, Yahoo.
It's supposed to, but we'll see.
Where's it going to end up in the internet for the Yahoo article? Is it going to be in what section, the sports or is it in the entertainment section? What do you know what's going to happen? You don't know that.
I have no idea.
So when you heard Yahoo coming through, you're like, all right, I like this because I want people to know me not just in the sports world.
Yes. When I heard Yahoo, I was like, I am big time now.
Well, I'm hearing you big time from Tiffany, and I'm saying that's great. And she says she's such a fantastic person. And shout out to Tiffany for giving me this opportunity to interview
you
again.
Great.
She's fantastic.
Great.
And she's really had some interesting people for me, so that's great. Let's go from you were talking about that experience. What was the other magazine you said?
Boss Magazine.
What's Boss Magazine anyways?
It's a magazine that just talks about or empowers women pretty much. And
okay.
They just wanted to know a little bit more about Jennifer.
and all about the same except but telling a different audience.
Yeah, just a different audience, more women, mm-hmm. you know, and just getting myself out there into empowering women more.
And I think it's important because you went through a tough time in your life at certain times, but also a tough time in the Olympics because you could, at the trials, you could just say, this is just awful.
Yeah.
This is, and how I was treated in certain ways. You want to say, hey, you can overcome these things and have the opportunity to be a gold medalist.
Yeah.
And then you can't just, when you fall down, say, I give up.
You can never do that. I think you can overcome any situation that hits you really hard. You know, you just got to be really persistent and dedicated to overcoming that situation.
And I think that's so important. So any other interesting projects? Is this what you're going to be on the hot seat growing up as a child in our next segment? I've been doing that with so many celebrities. And this will be the questions maybe no one's asked you. Because I remember our interviews. And that's pretty good after interviewing over probably 150 to 200 people since our last interviews that I remember that. I won't be when I'm 50 or 60, but at least at 40 I can have that memory. So tell me, any other projects going on right now that Jennifer can tell us? Because, again, that's not... Sometimes you can't say those things. Anything else going on with you?
I have some other projects going on, but I don't want to jinx it.
Oh, you can't say anything yet.
Can't say anything because I just want it to happen so badly.
Anything else notable to announce right now?
Apart from me trying to start off my foundation for Sierra Leone and educating kids back in West Africa, I think that's pretty much the only notable thing that I...
So how's it going? Since the last time we talked.
Oh, it's going really well. I've actually got the foundation set.
Great.
So I'm
going
to set the paperwork in and get the account ready and just get everything moving now.
So I need to somehow, you need to get sponsorship, get me out to Africa, and I could be involved and help you in the whole education thing, as I want to, because I'm interested in the whole education portion of that whole situation.
Yes, definitely.
Education is so important, and us being an international show, I think it's fantastic. So I'm sure you're very excited about that. So that's another big thing you can say.
It's a huge thing. I just love the fact that I'll be able to educate people.
Are you going to get any other celebrities involved in it when you go out to Africa that are going to help you with this process?
Definitely. I always want to get people involved, not even just celebrities, but just people who are willing to help other people, other kids get educated.
Right, exactly. And that's so important.
Yes.
And education seems so important. We can't tell us anything else. We're going to have to wait to find out those things with Jennifer. So when you were doing the paperwork and all that, I'm sure you were like, it's nerve-wracking. Please let this happen. Because
scary.
You can't get anything going until it happens.
Mm-hmm. It's so scary. And I have to really sit down and think about it. Like, is this what I'm going to do? And I had to make sure that all my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed because I do not want this to fall apart at all. So...
So when is the launch going to be? Do you have an idea of when you're going to be getting started in the fundraising, doing maybe a fundraiser, things like that? When are you looking to do that?
I want to start doing the fundraiser in my off season, so probably September, October.
Okay.
And I'm going to I want to raise the money before I...
So are you going to do a lot of stuff in L.A.? As a type of maybe red carpet event or a certain type of, what are you looking to do on that end? Do you have any ideas how the different ways of raising the money?
Yes, I have a lot of ideas. Well, I can tell you two of them. It's going to be really low key. I want to start off in the Bay Area where I'm from.
San Jose.
And
okay.
Then I just wanted a whole bunch of the African, the Sierra Leonean community to come together and donate some money and probably do a little bit of charity. And then I'll come to L.A. and probably try to have a big fundraiser.
Will I be invited to it?
You will definitely be invited. You can have your own table.
And hopefully my wife can finally come because it'll be it'll be great, and we can interview whoever you invite.
Yes.
Because I think it's such a fantastic thing. But we forgot to ask before we run out of time, how have you been doing on some of your events since you've been training? Have you done any other track events since last time we talked?
Last time we spoke.
The one in New York.
New York.
What happened in New York?
Oh, New York was great. I tied my PR. It wasn't... I didn't run as fast as I wanted to, but then you can never complain because the way I've been training is just so hard. It's not really made
for me.
Being
a professional athlete, it's more about being at the event and still doing well.
Yeah.
But it's not like being number one on that.
Because it's about being patient, is what it is.
So give me an example real quickly. So let's say I go to this event. I'm going to compete with others, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and there's prize money for the winners, right?
Yes, definitely.
But it's not as big a deal as the trials or something else. It's more about just keep on improving.
It is definitely more about keeping
improving. So if you place fourth, you're not upset?
No, I'm usually not the kind of person who gets upset depending on where I place. I get upset depending on what time I run. If I place fourth and I don't run fast.
What did you place in New York?
I play second.
Okay. We'll take that. And who was first?
Her name is English Gardner.
And was she an Olympian with you? Or?
She was not an Olympian, but she is an upcoming Olympian. She's a really talented athlete. still in college.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes,
so she's going to be on your team, hopefully.
Yes.
If it continues, all right. So, okay, when we get back, more with Jenna Batarma, and I can't wait to ask her the questions when she was growing up in a really interesting way. So we'll be back in just a moment. We're back live from L.A. The marathon continues. And I decided to have Jenna Bo on for another segment, and now she's in the hot seat like a lot of my other celebrities.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is childhood. We did talk a little bit about it, but very, very. So I'm going to go right to the beginning. You grew up where again?
San Jose, California.
So in elementary school and stuff, you were in San Jose?
Yes.
Okay. So what kind of child would you say? Were you a shy child, 6, 5 years old, or were you a very outgoing child?
I was a different child. Growing up, I was very, very quiet, very shy. And sometimes there were even times that the teacher had to talk to my parents or my mom and say, what's wrong with your daughter? Is she depressed? What's going on here? Because I was just too quiet for them, not like the normal child. As I started to get older and I started to run track, that's when the shyness kind of started to fade away a little bit more, and I became a little bit more outgoing. So
you were shy.
I was very quiet. My family was worried about me.
So how many siblings did you have?
I had 2 sisters,
okay.
But then I grew up with my cousins as well. They're pretty much my brothers and my sisters.
Okay.
So I can safely say that it was about 5, 6 kids in the house the whole time. It was fun. I loved it.
So, but were you the quiet one, or were you the middle one that tried to always appease everyone?
I was the one who was feisty. Although I was very quiet and shy, I was always fighting my older cousin. And he's 2 years older than me, way bigger than me, but I would always fight him, literally box him and jump on him. So I was a really feisty child.
What about in school? Were you a pleaser in school, or did you act up a bit? Or especially talk about 3rd, 4th grade? Because that's when truly the shell comes out. When girls are very pleasing, kindergarten, 1st grade, 2nd grade, then 3rd and 4th, we get a little bit of feistiness. Would you say you were a quiet one, or were you one of those chatty girls in class?
I think I was the quiet but deadly ones. My mom told me that I got expelled from kindergarten.
Yes. Oh,
what child gets expelled from kindergarten? Me, like a weirdo.
And then, what did your mom do when she found out you were acting up in kindergarten?
She was, I don't think there's much she could do but get mad and then put me in another school. She just keeps on telling me that I was a bad child. Well, I was bad in school, and I always got expelled or suspended or in trouble for something.
What about in 3rd and 4th grade?
3rd and 4th grade, well, when I went to Africa and I came back, I was really, really quiet, and that was after kindergarten. So from 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, I was really quiet, and I didn't say much.
So you went to Africa just when 1, 2, and 3?
I was in Africa for 1 year. I did 1st grade in Africa, but I came back to America, and my mom wanted me to do 1st grade all over again. So I did 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and
so when did it become the kind of behavior problem in the classroom? So how many of your teachers that are watching this interview now would say, we remember Jenova?
I think all my teachers will remember me. I was only really bad in kindergarten.
Since you were good, so you were aiming to please after that?
After that, I wasn't necessarily aiming to please. I was just quiet.
In the background. Would you consider yourself a hardworking student?
Yeah, I was a very hardworking student, and sometimes it frustrated me because I worked so hard and I struggled with learning. So I'd work so hard, and I just didn't see the reward.
Tell me what the struggling and learning is, because then we'll get to later into the whole college thing. So when you were struggling with learning, what was the reason? Focus or the class environment? What was it that made you struggle with learning at that time?
I have no idea. I was just in there, and I'd sit down and I'd try to understand what the teacher was saying, but it just would not stick. And it was just a struggle every day for me.
That your teachers were good, or do you think it was a good system you were in school-wise?
Yeah, my teachers were definitely good. They were really good. They tried. I had a teacher pick me up at 7 o'clock in the morning, take me to reading classes every day. I had another teacher stay with me.
So that's why you're so important about education, that you want to help in Africa, is because you had little difficulties in education.
Yes, I definitely had difficulties.
But then you overcame them, which we'll get to. But I don't know if you were surprised me interviewing about this, but I think it's great because someone that, you know, no, not many people could ever say they had a gold medal,
mm-hmm.
and we hope you have more, and to say tell kids out there, you keep trying, because school didn't come easily for me.
Oh, no, it didn't come easy at all. It was
so
really,
when
really
you
hard.
Think, so, I mean, I know we went on to college and all these different things, but when did finally you start? Was it a struggle in middle school as well for you?
It's always been a struggle. I think it became a little bit easier when I was in college, which is really weird, but I was majoring in psychology, and it was something that I liked.
Ah, see, so, I have a story of the same thing. I didn't enjoy school at all. I had a 3.2 GPA, but then when I went to college, I just said, I love this. But before that, when I studied stuff, I enjoyed.
Yes.
But when I had to study things that I didn't, I did well, but I didn't really care about it.
Yes.
It's not something I said, okay, I'm going to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That was not even in the cards. So in high school, so you always asked for that extra help. You worked really hard, but you had to work extra hard compared to your friends.
I had to work extra hard. I was in homework center. I've been in homework center, homework tutorial, everything.
Have you ever told this story to anybody else before?
No, actually. But my whole school career, I've been doing homework centers after school from elementary, middle, high.
This could be a great message part of the whole thing with Africa, talking about how education is so important because you had to struggle.
Yeah.
And you don't want kids to struggle, but you had that situation, but you overcame it. So to get into college, would you think that was track a help to get into school, or could you have gotten a school on your own merits? What were like you struggled, but yet you did well, meaning you passed and you did decent grades, but you had to work so much harder.
Yes, definitely. Even without track, I would have gotten into college. I had a 3.2 GPA in high school.
But you just had to work so hard.
I had to work really, really
hard.
And
you had other friends that just like that, right?
It wasn't my friends. It was my sister. My sister was so smart.
No,
she was a 4.2 GPA student.
Honors classes, all that stuff.
She was just so smart, and I just envied her. And she was my younger sister at that. So it's like I'm envying my younger sister for being really, really smart.
So when you were going through the homework help types of things and things like that, did you say, well, I know I have to do this, and grades are important to me? But who was it, your family that made it so it was important? Were you competing with your sister saying, I have to still do well? Were you always a competitor?
I never really competed with my sister when it came to academics, because I was just like, she has it and I don't. I'm just going to do my own thing. But it was always my mom and my sister who were on me. You have to try harder. You have to do better. If I got a C on the test, you have to get an A. If I got an A on the test, you have to get an A+. So it was always that you have to do better in my family.
Interesting. So Jenna's telling us secrets of how school wasn't as easy for you.
Oh, definitely.
And then what would you say in college? When did the light bulb come on that finally, you know, I'm focusing more? Do you think once you became really competitive in sports, that made you more competitive in academics and even a harder worker that you wanted to excel?
It definitely did make me a harder worker, but I think what made me a harder worker was that I knew that I wanted to be a psychologist. And once I decided what my major was going to be, I started taking all these psychology courses, abnormal psychology, developmental psychology, cognitive psychology.
Which I think we talked about in our first interview. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I just wanted to learn those things so much more, which made me want to study and made me want to understand it and diagnose people.
So what frustrated you in high school? What would you say about learning? What was it, just a situation that didn't interest you or was not like your favorite thing? What was your least favorite subject in school? That's a good question.
That is a really good question. I love learning. I can definitely say that.
Yeah.
My least favorite topic, though, I'd probably say math.
Math?
Yes.
Okay. And a lot of people would say math.
Yes.
And what do you think the reason was? Because the teachers didn't explain things exactly the way you wanted it. You wanted it step by step, right?
I think I just needed to be a little bit slower.
Exactly. That's what everyone learns in a different way and different things. But
mm-hmm.
I think what we're seeing is that even drawing in your school experience, it goes back to how you never gave up, even with the trial situation. So
yeah.
You see how your whole life you were a fighter.
That led
to nothing came easy, and even the gold medal didn't come easy
mm-hmm.
for you.
Definitely.
Does you see that story and how you're shaping things, and now you're going to help others through that?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think that's fantastic. Who was your favorite teacher of all time?
Oh, I've
Do you
had
remember?
So many.
Oh, I see that. That's another one to say, oh, Jennifer.
Yes. My second grade teacher,
mm-hmm.
her name is Miss Matheson. I've been looking for her on Facebook. I cannot find her.
Some teachers don't like me on Facebook.
I know. And then my sixth grade teacher, her name is Miss Warner.
And did you end up connecting with her?
I connected with her and on Facebook every now and then I'll write her a message. But I just love all my teachers. They were all so great. They were so helpful to
me. Did you ever want to be a teacher?
Yes, I did want to be a teacher. I actually still do kind of want to be a teacher. My major when I was a freshman was education.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and I changed it to psychology.
And now in the whole psychology thing, as I remembered our first interview, mm-hmm. you want to utilize that in Africa as well.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to practice it ever, as well as ever as a psychologist? Do you want to do that? Or just because the brand's becoming this, at one point in time you might.
I'm so torn between the two. I still want to be a teacher, but I still want to be a psychologist. And
do you want to coach at all ever?
No. No.
You don't want to be a coach?
No.
How about a mentor for some track stars?
Probably not. If you need advice, I'll give you advice, but I would not want that to be my job.
But so you enjoy teaching. So that's a surprise that you don't want to do that. No.
Mm-mm.
Your coaches in track, would you say that they were very inspirational to you?
Definitely. Yes, all of them.
So what would make you not want to be a coach? What is the thing that, is it just because you want to be, are you too much of a perfectionist in a way? Or do you think it's just something, just you want to be more people than just one person?
It's just not my thing.
It's not
my thing.
So teaching, what would you want to teach someday?
I've always wanted to be a first and second grade teacher because Miss Matheson inspired me so much. She was such a good help.
Do you know that one of the Miss Americas from... ended up becoming a teacher afterwards.
Really?
Yeah, she was a teacher, then came back and was a teacher. So it doesn't matter. You could be a celebrity and then go back and be a teacher. But you could teach millions instead of just a classroom. So if your whole cause and your foundation could be your opportunity to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes, definitely. I would love to teach. If I can teach in Sierra Leone, I would teach those kids.
Right. Well, so let's talk about that. Do you want, when your foundation is going, you're going to visit a lot, do you want to be involved where you get to do some teaching as well?
Oh, yeah. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a principal. I want to be everything to those kids just so that they can be educated and they have what I felt like I had.
And the class size is just absolutely too large in that area, isn't it? Because I've heard of other schools in Africa where there are 50, 60 kids in a classroom.
Some of them are really large, and then sometimes they're not that many, you know, because kids can't afford to go to school.
Oh, because there's not free public education.
You got to pay.
Why is that?
I have no idea.
To make your heart broken.
It definitely hurts. You know, I hear people, family members calling my mom all the time, hey, I need my school fees to get paid. And it's not even that expensive. It's $33 for us. $33.
Oh, my gosh.
And they get educated. So it's not that expensive at all, but they
can afford it. So what happens if they're not educated? They're going to end up either in huge poverty and never getting out or dying, right, for making the wrong decisions.
Pretty much, yeah. Yes.
So I see that's where I see the passion lying. And I already believe you would be a book definitely has to be in the place at one point as well. You have such an unbelievable story. Once we start drawing more out about Jenaba, you show your fighting attitude, your ability, I'm never going to give up.
Mm-hmm.
School, I had a little bit of difficulties, which is great you say this because it gives so many little girls out there saying, you know, I'm struggling with my math or I'm struggling with my reading and I have to work extra hard. Will it ever pay off?
It definitely paid off.
And now you can take all that information and help others in so many ways and be an advocate for education as well.
Mm-hmm.
And do you visit the schools in LA ever? Do you get the opportunity to do that yet?
I visited Culver City High, but I haven't visited any elementary
schools. I think they would just love you.
Thank
That'll
you.
That'll be something I have to tell Tiffany. That they're just going to, you bring your gold medal, they'll just be all, which you forgot today. You bring your gold medal and they'll just be just awesome because you're very easy to talk to.
Thank you.
And I think that's such an important thing. So where can we find more information on Jenaba, become a fan of Jenaba, and also do we have any information on the foundation yet? Is the website ready yet, or is it just more still going to the Twitter to find out what's going on with you?
Yes. Best way to get in touch with me or find out more about me is Facebook, Twitter, and I'm trying to get a web page soon. So when I get that up, then hopefully...
It's all in development. I was talking to a publicist yesterday, and they're saying, you got to redesign your website.
Really? Yes.
So it's just a constant. I have had a website, but You got to always be on it, and you got to always be on it because people are going to say, who's Jenna Batarmo? Somebody who didn't know you, they look you up and say, I can't really find a lot of information. So it's so important to always be on that World Wide Web because that's the first place they look for it.
Yes.
And they say, well, let's check out things. Well, now they can find this YouTube interview with you. So thanks again for coming by.
Thank you so much for having
me. Your Twitter again is?
Jenna Sylvia.
Yeah, and go check that out.
Yes.
And she tweets up a storm and we find out all the cool things about her and soon the website. And I can't wait to hear a lot about what's going on with you after that. So thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right. You're listening to the Total Education Celebrity Show and also Total Education with Neil. And we'll be back in just a moment.